and he's just the same as his lovely name. Now that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his holy name. Now that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name. Oh, aren't you glad you believe that with all your heart? Yes, now Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his holy name. Now that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, he's the sweetest name I know. Brother Lance, could you come and pray tonight? Brother Lance, would you lead us to the Lord as we get ready to enter this service tonight? Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Young people, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord. Did you have a good time? Did you enjoy the blessings of the Lord? Well, we've heard some great things. Let's just invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. Brother Lance, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, truly, Father, your name is the sweetest name we know. But it's not because of the letters or really even the way it sounds. But it's because of that character that you displayed. The character behind that name, Lord, we are so in love with. Because of the way you are, the things you do, the very fact that when you say something, it never fails. That right there, Lord, is the sweetest thing in the world. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. You have spoken so many glorious and wonderful things. We thank you for your character. We thank you for your attributes. We thank you for all that you are, dear Lord. We thank you for saving us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be in this service. And it's such a wonderful thing with you and that character. You made the statement and you said you would be here tonight. We're two or three together. So right now in this building, the very person of Jesus who is so sweet. Lord, we know you're here and we want you to know tonight we love you, Lord. We come here to worship you and to praise you. We ask you, Lord Jesus, we just sit down at your feet, Lord. We want you to speak to us, correct us where we're wrong. Lord, help us. We need you, Lord. We need furtherance. We pray for your guidance tonight. Just be with us. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lance. God bless you. Why don't you shake hands tonight with somebody around you? Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church. Play a little bit more of that, brethren. We'll sing some of that tonight again, if you will. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Sing with all your heart now. Yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his holy name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Amen. Let's sing that song tonight. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. See if we can find that brethren on the screen, if you will. He came looking for me. Aren't you glad when he looked for you, he found you? Amen. You might have been in a terrible shape when he found you. But look where he's brought you to. Look what he's made out of your life. Don't you appreciate the grace of God? Don't you appreciate his goodness to you? Oh, where would we be without him? Where would we be without him? All right. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way. There was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul. Come on my feet, now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me. Well, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way. There was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul. Calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me. One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all the dawn, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me.
He made a way when there was no way that I could see.
To rescue my soul, calm all my fear, now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave.
Oh, he had.
His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care? I'd soon be lost. I knew my destruction was a matter of time.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. No harm, for he walked through the storm. He came looking for me.
Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. Made a way when there was no way that I could see.
When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul. Calm all my fear.
Now I'm free from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, Satan had already down my grave, plan to move forward. forward.
Oh, yes.
Take me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my misdirection was a matter of time. But Jesus appeared, said, this one is mine. I'm safe with no harm, cause he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Rescue my soul, calm all my fears.
Oh, now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me, now I'm safe from all harm.
Now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me,
came looking for me. Hallelujah. I bless your name. I bless your name. And for that, let's bless his name tonight. You feel like blessing the name of the Lord? Praise the name of God. Let's sing it tonight with all of our heart.
In prisoner's chains.
Thank you, Jesus.
With bleeding stripes. Paul and Silas pray that night, and in their pain began to sing.
Thank you, Lord.
Their chains were loose. And they were free.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I give honor.
If you should find you're in a prison,
oh, you're in a prison.
In your mind,
do this.
Reach out and pray.
Hallelujah.
Defy those chains and watch this. The truth, the way.
You're the truth and the way.
I bless
Somebody say, praise the Lord. You are the life.
You are the life.
Yes, you are, Lord.
The truth, the way.
Thank you, Father.
I bless your name. I bless your name.
Let's sing that second verse again.
Some midnight hour.
Oh, yes.
If you should find you're in a prison,
you're in a prison
in your mind.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of God. Amen. Well, we've got a victory report tonight. You remember Sunday morning here, Sister Gail Clark got real sick. The rescue squad came, and they were saying just from observing her that all the symptoms looked to be a stroke. But by the grace of God, she is well tonight. By the grace of God, she's well. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Sing it, church. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus.
And when I am alone.
Oh, when we're alone.
Oh, and when I am
when you
alone,
feel all alone.
And when I am alone.
Hallelujah.
Just give me Jesus.
I want you to sing it now, church. Oh, give me Jesus.
Give me
Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I come to die, Lord, when I come to die, oh, now when I come to die, just give me Jesus. Lead it for me.
Give me Jesus.
Oh, give me sweet Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Give me sweet Jesus.
You can have all this world.
Yes, you can.
You can have all this world.
Oh, yes, you can.
You can have all this world.
Oh, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. If you'd like to be seated while we look at our prayer request. I told you about Sister Gail Clark. We do want to continue to pray for our sister that God will just give her her strength back. But she is doing so much better. And Brother Sam and the family, they're very thankful. They appreciate the grace of God and what he has done for Sister Gail. Well, remember Brother John Sacker going to be gone for 2 or 3 months. Just ask God to give him traveling mercy as he's going to be gone, and may the will of the Lord be done. Brother Floyd Parrish sends this in. I'm requesting prayer for my wife Jean Parrish. She may have to have her foot removed due to an infection that has worked its way to the bone. So we certainly want to pray tonight that the will of the Lord and by the grace of God may she be able to keep that foot. I believe God's able to fix it, don't you? We certainly do. Amen. Brother Howard Collins sends in a prayer request for Barbara. I don't know if I got that. Tarrant. I don't know if I even got that name right or not. But if I didn't, I apologize for that. She's 70 plus years old. She fell and broke her collarbone and her shoulder. Please pray for her recovery. So let's remember that lady tonight as we pray. That God would just be merciful unto her. Sister Gail Clark is doing better, which I just told you about. Brother Sam wants to offer thanks to the Lord and just continue to pray for her. Brother Gene sends in a prayer request for Brother Doug McKinney. Has a virus. So let's remember Brother Doug in prayer. Sister Aretha McQueen says, please pray for Sister Nan Cromer. She's having problems with her hip and also trouble walking. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. Prayer request for Sister Joanne Logue. She is in the hospital in the Johnson City Medical Center undergoing tests. They think that she possibly could have suffered a stroke. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Isaiah Vaughn is at home with a severe sinus infection. Let's remember that prayer request tonight. Also want to pray for Brother Terry Horn. He'll be headed home this coming Saturday. So let's pray that God would give him traveling mercy as he makes his way back. I believe Brother Joe and Sister Jennifer, I believe they're already back. Is that right? They've already got back from Germany. Is that right? So thank the Lord. I hope they had a tremendous results in the meeting that they were there in. And thank God for bringing them back home. All the unspoken prayer requests. If you have something tonight, you believe God's able to give you what you have need of? You believe it with all your heart? Let's stand tonight. Brother Jim Maxwell, would you come tonight, if you would, pray over these prayer requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. We believe God is bigger than all these problems, don't we? Amen. Brother Jim, the Lord bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, certainly is an honor, Lord, to come here tonight, Lord. Just to be able to honor you and to praise you and to give you thanks, Lord, for the many great things that you've done amongst us, Lord. Father, we thank you for this testimony, Lord, we've heard for Sister Clark, Lord. And Lord, I believe that you respect and honor faith amongst your people, Father. So Lord, we're coming and asking, Lord, that you will help our faith to be able to rise to the place, Lord, that these needs can be met. Maybe these people are low in faith, Lord. But Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint our faith, anoint their faith, Lord, to be able to reach out, take hold of the promises of God in this hour that you give us, Lord. And Lord, for this service, Lord, we're just looking forward to what you have for us, Lord. You saw who would be here, Lord, the needs that's in each and every heart, Lord. So, Father, I believe that you have a word that's going to help us with these needs that we have in our lives, Lord. I believe you're an on-time God, Lord. So, Father, we just ask that you'll just come, anoint the people, anoint our pastor, Lord. Just be with him. And, Lord, just lead him to the needs of the people, Father, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I just brought to our attention that Brother Tony Abma and Sister Rebecca had left Lebanon and went over into Turkey to hold a meeting. And on their way back, they were detained at the airport there in Lebanon. They wouldn't let them proceed any further. They sent them back to Turkey. So God's got it all in control. We just committed unto His great hands. We believe our brother and sister are doing exactly what they feel led of the Lord to do. And we believe that if they're in God's service, there's nothing big enough to stop them. So we just committed all unto the Lord. I mean, we're going to be praying for them. We certainly are. And I heard some news, I guess, this week that there's two, I guess both of them are ministers that are still in jail in Iraq. I'm going to pray for them that God would certainly be mindful of them. I believe He is. And we don't know what we're all going to face, but so far none of us have been had put in jail. But we know that God's big enough to keep us wherever we're at. In whatever capacity we're in, He's big enough to keep us. I just want to be in His will wherever I'm at, don't you? Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. God bless you. We're glad to have you. If you're visiting with us in this service tonight, may God richly bless you. Those that would be streaming the service, we certainly pray that God would bless those folks also. Brother James Stamper was here over the weekend, just got out of the hospital, was right back here in service. He's here tonight. Brother James, 92 years young, still drives that little red truck and comes to church. Let's give our brother a good hand tonight. God bless you, Brother James. Love you, buddy. Appreciate his desire to still come to the house of the Lord, and health-wise, he's able to be here. Brother Jackie Benton's here in the service with us tonight, and he's dying to sing a song, and we're dying to hear him. Brother Jackie, we love you too, buddy. Come give us a song tonight, if you would. Appreciate Brother Jackie Benton, don't we? Give him a nice hand tonight. Just while you're getting a song ready, Brother Jackie, love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Let me make a couple of announcements real quickly as Brother Jackie gets us a song ready. We would like to wish our beautiful daughter, Johanna, a very happy birthday. She will be 10 years old tomorrow, April the 8th. Brother George and Sister Rachel Hamblin want to wish their daughter, Johanna, a very happy 10th birthday. Also, there will be a youth meeting on Friday here in the sanctuary, 13 and up. And anyone that went to camp, the time will be 6 p.m. So remember that. Remember that announcement about a youth meeting here on Friday at 6 o'clock. May the Lord bless you as Brother Jackie gets us a song ready.
Did you come to draw from the well of living water tonight? Amen. I'm glad we can draw from Him. And I'm glad we've got a place, amen, that He's called us to, that there'll be no more sickness. No more pain. We've come for the reading of the will tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some call it paradise. Somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by His own hand. and for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And then a few more days, it will be mine. Amen. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Someone says you can't go back home again, and things will never be as good as they've been. I've got good news for you when heaven comes in view. One glimpse and you'll know the best, it's yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad for that home tonight? Let's sing it. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. And the prophet said, don't you miss it. Amen.
Brother Louie just left me hanging here. I really don't have any voice, but I'd rather sound like a donkey brand for Jesus than Elvis for the devil. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I wanna be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea, that the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder. It's the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes this anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my. Surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. His sons, His daughters sing. I'm surrendering.
I give you my all.
I surrender to the King.
I'm as happy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
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 Certainly enjoyed the services this weekend, Brother Jason, being with us. And just so appreciate what the Lord put on His heart for us. And I can tell you something as a pastor. Brother Jason was really laboring under some things that he had been dealing with. And I just marvel as I watch men that are so troubled. And they have so much that they're under and they're dealing with. And yet they're able somehow to be able to get up there and just kind of move that over a little bit and for your sake. And once God uses them, they move back underneath that, that strain, that labor, that something. And then the next service, they just move it over again and then you're benefited and they just move back under it again. How great He is to us. How great He is to us. If you came to church tonight to hear something deep from some theologian or some message preacher that would just be carry you way out yonder in the horizontal rainbow and you're just sitting there and just slobbering at the mouth, you can go ahead and leave now. Because what I'm going to preach tonight is not going to be deep. It's not going to be something that's going to be so profound that you're just going to sit there, oh my God. Listen to that. Huh? No. So go ahead and get your Bible and your purse. And we'll see you Saturday. Okay? Honestly, it's going to be simple, but it's going to be true. And that's what I want. You understand the word deep is never used in the Bible when it comes to preaching? Where do we get this at in the message? That a person has to be deep to feed you. Where's this come from? Where's it come from? It's not in the Word of God. So it's an addition somewhere along the way. Right. Let's turn to 1 Timothy, if you would, tonight, chapter 5. And I'd like to use for a subject, how to correct a pastor. How to correct a pastor. 1 Timothy, chapter 5. Now, let me just make reference here for those who will stream the service and those that will hear the service. An instance that happened a couple of Sundays ago, one of the brothers from our church here disagreed apparently with something that I was preaching. I'm not sure what, since he hadn't talked to me about it. But he spoke out at the end of the service, and I had to hush him, stop him from speaking out. And after that event happened, I began to wonder how many people would really know by the scripture and by the message on how to deal with a minister or a pastor if they differed with him or disagreed. Would they know by the word how to do it? Because God has a protocol of everything that He does. An approach, a right way, a wrong way. And I've been serving the Lord long enough, and you have too, that there's two ways. Generally God's and ours. And generally, ours ain't God's way. And I've been wrong so many times, my goodness, it's mercy I'm still alive tonight. But I want God's way. And I believe you do too if you really love Him. So I thought we'd look at this tonight by the help of the Lord. And I want to approach it from the scripture and from the message. Now, many of you I know, you just come to church and you love the Lord. And you realize you're a sheep. You don't feel like you're qualified to correct any preacher to begin with. You'd be like you trying to tell a rocket scientist how to build a rocket, and you've never even been on a rocket building plant. But there's people that are different from that. There's people who look at things different. Their makeup is different. So they feel like that they could challenge basically any preacher. It didn't make a difference what his position was or whatever. Not downgrading those people at all either. But all of us, no matter what our makeup is, we all have to come back to the Word and say, the Word is right. Now, if we're going to follow this Word and this message, and I suggest we do it. If we're not going to, let's get away from it. Go out tonight after church. Get you a fifth of whiskey, pack of cigarettes, get you a woman or a man, whichever one you think you want, and just live a good time. Because if you're not going to follow this with all your heart, you're going to go to hell with religious devils on you. And you'll be worse than the drunk, because you'll be a religious devil seven times worse. Matter of fact, Brother Ben said God respects you more if you just get away from it. I know it's tough, but that's what he said. Now let's read together from the scripture. Now I want you to listen carefully now. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. How many believes that? Now, if you believe that's true, why would you let the devil tell you a lie against an elder only in your mind? And you'd receive it. Brother Donnie don't like me, or Brother Jason don't care for me. Do you realize you can't even receive an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses? Then why would you believe the lie of the devil? Every time we do it, we're breaking the scripture. That's right. Now watch this in proving his word. You see, this is one of the reasons why when any serious matter of question will come up in a church, it is, as a minister, it's my responsibility. Let me show you this, improving his word, paragraph 61. Now it is possible that staunch Christians find people sometimes hold to the wrong thing, thinking it's right. But then these things should be proven, whether they are right or wrong. And it's the duty of all of us, as we're expecting to go to heaven when Jesus comes, everybody else don't even care. They don't care for right or wrong. Sinners don't care. But for us Christians, we do care. Now notice this. He says, it's the minister's duty when any question is brought up that he. You mean there's a difference between a minister and she? Really? So it's not the deacon's place to solve it out, or the trustees, or Brother Louis is a song leader, or no. It's the minister's place. It's the minister's duty when any question is brought up that he solves this out. And then proves it before the people that they might understand. Because no one wants to be found wrong, holding to the wrong thing. So we have a scripture, and Jesus said all scripture must be fulfilled, that we should prove all things and then hold fast. I love the way he says this. Or hold tight, or get a death grip on it. Amen. And don't turn it loose. Hold fast to that which is good. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we so love you tonight, Father. Dear God, we're grateful for the opportunity that once again we could come to your house to be able to worship and sing. As I was back there, Lord, and just hearing the congregation worship you in the presence of God, and I thought how pleased you must have been when your children lift up their hands and their voices into your great august courts. They move aside their worries, their troubles, and they come to worship you. Now, Father, it's time to move over into another portion of the service. The portion, Lord, that will set us, hopefully, to thinking about serious things. I pray you'd take your word tonight, Lord, and just speak to us, dear God. We love you, Father. We want to be right. We want to be correct. Speak to us tonight, I pray, from your word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Now, one thing, friends, I don't want you to form an opinion from this title and think, well, you know, I don't figure it's my place to go around correcting preachers, and I ain't never tried to correct Brother Donnie or any other preacher I've ever sat under, and I don't figure I'm going to start now, so I don't think there's really going to be anything for me out of this entire service. Don't you think that at all? Because there's going to be so many things that we want to look at that's going to be real truths that if you're here tonight to receive something from the Lord, I believe every one of us can get something from Him. Now, God is so infinite in His ways, and a God who would know, let me just show you a little bit about Him. A God who would know ever flea, ever gnat that would ever live on the earth. Brother Bam said he would know how many times that gnat would bat his eyes and how much tallow that gnat would make when he died. Now, can you think about that? It's hard for us. We can't even hardly comprehend even how many gnats and all that sort of thing. And you think, right now, here we are in the coming of spring and already seeing wasps and yellow jackets and all those sort of things. And you think, where did they go in the wintertime? We have had one of the worst winters and so cold and so much snow. Where did they go? What happened to them? It's like they totally disappeared. October, November, December, they totally disappeared, and all of a sudden, bam, there they are. Where did they go? Well, that's just entirely up to Him. He makes a way for them, and then here they come. He is so infinite, and He knows every wasp I'll ever kill, which will be a bunch of them. He knows every one of them. He knows every one of them that'll live. And He knows all of that. So that God is not just a God of happenstance or a God that just puts us down here in life and lets us do whatever we want to do. But He is a God of order and a God that must be approached in the right way. Now, in that, God, of course, gave so many orders in the universe, orders in the atmosphere. No doubt we'll find out many of those when we get there that day. But that God who set the universe in such order and the planets in such order and the sun and the moon and the stars and all that in such order, surely He would not leave us as His people down here on this earth without a divine order by which we should follow. Then if we would be able to find that order and get our lives in that order, would not that God be just as concerned and provide for us just as much as He would the little robins who don't have Social Security? The blackbirds do not have Obamacare. They do not have retirement. They don't have Social Security, but they are fed every day and they depend on Almighty God. Did not Jesus say, which one of you can add one cubit to your stature, or which one of you can do this or that? He said, does not your Father provide for the little sparrows? And of how much more value are you than the sparrows? But we've got to find that order in order for that to be able to work for us. Now, let's establish a few things. Notice this. I'm going to read you a couple of statements here. The Holy Ghost will never lead us contrary to the Word. You believe that? Now, it would be absolutely contrary to God's disposition to give us something in His Holy Bible or give us something in the Message for us to live by. And it was the decree, mandated decree of God that this was what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do for the day you live in. And then the Holy Ghost would lead me or you over the top of that decreed mandate of God. It would be foolish. It would be foolish for God to write something in His Word and then turn around and lead me or you away from that.
Now you realize, friend, that many, many people, you know, it's a common saying among us in the Message folks, not so much in many of the denominations because they don't believe in being led of the Spirit of God, but you hear it so much that people use it almost as a cop-out that I felt led to do this or that. Well, look, you might feel led to leave your wife and marry another woman, and you might feel led to do this and that and the other, but if that's contrary to the Word, it was the devil that led you and not the Holy Ghost. Because it would be contrary to God's own makeup to lead me or you or anyone else contrary to the mandate of the hour. Right. Notice this in Church Order 1963, Brother Ram says, the Spirit of Christ is subject to Christ's teaching, Christ's house, Christ's order. Now, I don't care how much you speak in tongues and how much you jerk and quiver, and you can have chill bumps 14 inches tall on your arm. You can have chill bumps on top of your head till you look like a dinosaur, but if that thing on you is leading you contrary to the Word, it ain't the Holy Ghost. Oh, you'll blaspheme, Brother Don, be careful. How can I blaspheme man of Christ's Spirit? However, the Holy Ghost lead us contrary to the Word. He'll never do it. Never, friend. So we want to establish this, and this is why I said there's many things in here tonight, but all of us will be benefited by that the Holy Ghost, anytime you feel led to do anything, you pray over that matter and take that matter before the Word of God. And if you're a sheep and you don't have the ability to study, then ask counsel of a man of God to see if he can find something in the Word for you to make sure your leading is not contrary to the Holy Ghost. Because you make God a liar to say, thou shalt not do this, and then God leads you to do this that he said don't do. Amen, Brother Donnie. I can tell already I'm about to preach an amen too. Whoo, this is going to be a tough night. I'm going to be wore out. But I can do it. I've done it before if that's the way y'all want to do it. Now notice again in conferences in Tucson, he says, this is the way the Christian church is to be run. Not by creeds, not by denomination, not by education, not by theology, but by the baptism of the Holy Spirit to lead men and women, and he will never... Never, never, one time, whenever voices speak to you and I, listen to those voices. Brother Donnie, do you hear voices? I sure do, but a lot of them ain't the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now you realize in this day and time, if you hear voices, they sign you up for a check. Every one of us, just to be honest, there's things that tells us all kinds of things, but one thing you'll know, the Holy Ghost will never lead you contrary to that Word. Now the devil may say so much of the Word, so much of the Word, so much of the Word, but keep on listening because he can't stay with it 100%. He'll always leave the Word somewhere. It may not be day one, it may be day two, or day three, or day four, but eventually the devil will leave the Word, but the Holy Ghost can never leave that Word. Never. He will never. So when you feel led to do something and that leading is contrary to the Word, you don't even need to pray about it. You know right there it's not the Spirit of God. Simple rule to live by, friends. He will never lead you away from the Word of God. He'll lead you right to the Word of God because man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Again, Revelation chapter 5, part 2. A man that can't stand the scripture correction and he gets all angry and blows up, it shows he's not right with God. That includes every man from here all the way back. And every man that'll hear this and every man that won't. Because notice now he says, a man that can't stand the scripture correction, he gets all angry and blows up, it shows he's not right with God. Now what am I saying this for? To show each of us that the Spirit of God will never lead us away from the Word. And if we have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, a word birth for this day, It will always sanction, punctuate, and amen the Word of God for this hour. Always. It will never leave that Word. It'll never go back to 40 years ago and stay there. It will come right up to where we are right now, and it'll recognize the day and the hour that we're living in. If it's the Holy Ghost. Now, if you try to correct a person, whether it's a preacher, a deacon, a songwriter, song leader, whoever it is, and they get all mad and blow up, well, there's one simple solution. But the man said they're not right with God. It shows he's not right with God. That's right. But a genuine saint of God will be reconciled to God by the Word. You mean to tell me a real saint of God can get out of fellowship? A real saint of God can do something wrong and make a mistake and make a fool out of himself? The question is not can they do it. The question will be how many times will they do it? A real saint will get out of sync with God. They'll get out of fellowship with God. They'll feel led. I have felt led to do things that turned out was wrong. Right. Brother Donnie, not you. Yes, Brother Donnie, me, just like you and everybody else. I was reading today where Brother Branham said, Brother Bosworth said, Brother Branham, oh, if you'll go to South Africa down the lower part, you go here and do this. Oh, Brother Branham, many of the greatest meetings there ever was. And he said, Brother Bosworth, I'm surprised that you and Brother Bosworth are sitting right there in the meeting when he's telling this testimony. I'm surprised that you, he said, all these times and these things you've seen, and yet Brother Branham not feeling led, but he give in because those brothers pressure him. You remember what he paid for it too. Now notice, here was Brother Bosworth, and he was actually under the influence of the wrong spirit. But you see, a real saint of God, once it's been proven that they have been wrong, this is the difference between them and others. Others quit. They don't come back. They leave mad and they get under a murdering spirit. But a real saint of God will be reconciled. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now notice it shows he's not right with God, that's right, but a genuine saint of God will be reconciled to God by the Word, that's right, and the Word is the correcting way. Now, Paul says here in Timothy that we're not to bring an accusation against an elder, and that the elders that rule well are worthy of double honor. So let's see by the Scripture and by the message who is an elder. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Now, those of you that are familiar with Presbyterian doctrine, this is one of the things that separates the Presbyterian from all the rest of the Protestants. And that is, they take this presbos, the Greek word here, presbos, which is used for elder, and they say that there was many, many elders in the church, but yet there was one pastor, and that it was a collective body that actually controlled the church. Now that's good Presbyterian doctrine, but it's not apostolic doctrine. Right. Notice who Peter identifies that the elders are. The elders which are among you I exhort, which also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God. So here now we see that this type of elder that Peter is referring to, that the Bible identifies, is not a man which is older in the Lord, but it is an elder which is a shepherd. Who is to feed the flock of God? Shepherds. One of the responsibilities of the Eastern shepherd was, he was to feed the flock. He was to move the flock from pastor to pastor. He was to watch the flock for wolves that would come in. He was to lay in front of the gate and become their protector, also their head. So this is what the elder was. It was not an older man as some of the older brothers here in the church, that we would honor them as being elders. But that's not this type of elder. It is an elder which is a position in the body. Right. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. Notice now, taking the oversight. So the elder is not just another sheep. The elder has the oversight. This is your Bible, right? It's okay to preach the Bible here to Happy Valley? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. All right. Notice now, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, which is money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You are not my heritage. You are God's. I nor any other pastor is to be a lord over the flock, but a shepherd. A shepherd. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now, look with me if you would, and you can read this on the screen. Hebrews chapter 5. Brother Bim says, show me by the Bible what's greater in the Bible than a local elder to a local church. Now, where am I going? We're establishing God's protocol. Now, let's look at the elder, pastor, shepherd, the way God looks at him. And then let's see how he's to be dealt with. Okay? By the Word. Right, by the Word. Now, watch, Brother Adam. Show me by the Bible what's greater in the Bible than a local elder to a local church. So, you see, friend, it is absolutely antichrist for anyone to try to control Happy Valley from without. To have a headquarters to tell me what I should do and what I should not do, and what I should preach and what I should not preach, it is antichrist. It's spirit of organization, that's all you can say. And I will never stand for it as long as I'm the pastor of this church. There will be no, absolutely no. Absolutely not. It's contrary to the message. Notice again in Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Bam says the full and complete authority of the church is in the deacons. Song leader. Trustees. Where is the full authority of the church? What? You realize that folks that believe this, it solves so many problems. But what's sad is there's folks sitting in message church, some sitting right here tonight. You don't believe this a bit more than you believe nothing. Right. If deacons in the message, trustees in the message, song leaders in the message, even other preachers in the church that's under that pastor, if they would believe that, it would resolve so many issues just by simply recognizing the pastor is not up here. Here's a deacon board and here's a trustee board and then the pastor's sort of like this. The pastor has the full, complete authority. There is no, absolutely no church going to tell this church what we can and cannot preach. There is no outsiders. No disrespect to Brother Joseph Branham. Needless to say, you might as well write the Pope before he would write me and tell me to play tapes or do this, that, or the other. There is no one, absolutely no one that's contrary to the Word of God. That's contrary to the very prophet of God that his messages are being toted as the absolute. And yet you read this from what they say is the absolute. Right. The full and complete authority of the church is the pastor. Read that in the Bible and see if that's not Bible order. Right. That's exactly right. There was no one above the elder. No one. I have nothing to do with what Brother Neville does here. You mean to tell me the prophet of the age? The prophet of God himself would make such a statement? Why? Because Brother Branham believed apostolic mannerism. He believed apostolic order. Can you imagine a prophet of God saying this? I can't imagine him saying anything else. Anything contrary to this is against Bible order. Now look, if Brother Branham would have come and said, look here, I'm the main boss. Everybody shut up. Don't you understand what that'd been? Catholicism. Watch Brother Branham recognize this move in the body. Now this is the message. That people say they believe every word.
Right. Gargle peanut butter and stand upside down on your head when you get done saying that. Yeah, right.
Now notice Brother Bim says, Brother Neville.
This is almost unfathomable, I know.
I have nothing to do with what Brother Neville does here. That's up to you and Brother Neville. If Brother Neville wanted to preach Jehovah Witness doctrine, that's up to him and you. You mean to tell me the prophet of the age would make a statement like that?
Yeah.
You believe it, right? Okay. Why would he say such a thing, Brother Chuck?
Because here's the man who has the greatest office in the age. None will ever surpass him. But he recognizes the office here in this body.
There's a family that came here to our church several years ago. And I won't mention their name. But the sister had a real burden to come here from another state. And her husband, you know, he kind of liked me. I was all right. But he just didn't really have that understanding yet to move here. So she came and talked to me and Carol. Stayed here for a couple of weeks or something and visited. Oh, Brother Don, I want to move here so bad. Oh, I want to move here so bad. But my husband just don't see it. What should I do?
I said, I'll tell you what you did. You pray for your husband. And don't you go home and try to be his spiritual head. And tell him he needs to do this and he needs to do that and he needs to do something else and he needs to do something else. I said, you pray for him, tell him you enjoy the services and you're praying for him that God will lead him. Well, that husband did feel led to move here. Some time ago when we was over to Pavilion, he come up to me and he said, you know, Brother Donnie, he said, there was something that happened years and years ago before we ever moved here. And he said, it's one of the things that convinced me you was a true servant of God. I said, what was that, brother? And he told me about that situation. He said, my wife come home and she told me what you said. And he said, I said, that's a real servant of God. You know why I could do that? Because I recognize order. Order. What good would it tell me? Would I be above him by office? Yes. But would God honor me if I overstepped him being the head of his home and say, you go home, wife. Don't you cook none. You pile on him. You throw temper tantrums. You throw a fit till he moves you to Johnson City. What kind of church member you think that'll be? She'll do me the same way.
Praise the Lord. But God's Spirit always honors God's order.
My goodness.
I have nothing to do with what Brother Neville does here. That's up to you and Brother Neville. If Brother Neville wanted to preach Jehovah Witness doctrine, that's up to him and you. If he wanted to preach anything he wanted to, that's between you and him. You mean Brother, that's a prophet. He's Malachi 4. But God has an order.
Do you understand that Brother Neville would have started preaching Jehovah's Witness doctrine and Brother Branham would come in under these terms as flexing his muscles as we'd say it'd been just as displeasing to God as it would have Brother Neville preaching here?
What's the way? What's the right way? Don't come in and say, all right, church, get rid of him. Vote him out here. That's not the way.
The church voted for him to be the head, the pastor, until they vote him out. That's the way God looks at it. Well, glory.
Notice again, he says, that's all. If the congregation votes for him in there to preach that, that's all right. That's up to him. Now, what's he setting for us in this message? God's protocol of leadership. Now, Brother Branham wouldn't do that. What makes anybody else think they should? Are we greater than him?
Praise the Lord.
Notice this in church order. As far as getting up and giving a message in tongues and interpretation while the Holy Spirit is working through the pastor, Scripture condemns that and said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. The pastor then must call this individual down and ask them to be reverent and keep their peace. The pastor must be a man that has got a very humble way about him. And the church said,
amen.
But not too humble. And the church said,
amen.
Most folks will amen the first clause and won't amen the second one. He must have a very humble way about him, but not too humble, but what he could be like the Lord Jesus Christ when he's seen wrong going on in the church and he plaited ropes and ran them out of the church. Now, the church of God is the highest of judgment. Now, watch, this is God's protocol on the earth. So here is the highest place of judgment on the earth. Friends, it's not the judicial court. It's not the Supreme Court. Now, in the off and in the land, in the United States, it would be. But when we're talking about the way God looks at it, God does not look at the Supreme Court as being the highest point of judgment in the earth. He says it's His body. The church. Now this is the way God looks at it. Remember, this is the way God sees it. The church of the living God is the highest form of judgment on the earth. And then there's a highest office in that form of judgment. Right. Amen. Now notice he says, and the pastor is the highest order in the church. So what does that make then for these tape churches that have no pastor? They're a headless body. Right? They decapitated their head. Well, but Brother Branham is their head. That's totally impossible. Brother Branham's in another dimension. They have no head. Well, in a sense they don't. Generally, there's a businessman that runs it and he pushes play, so I guess he's the head. Notice now, the pastor, he says, is the highest order in the church. The elder is the highest thing in the apostolic church. But in the message, though, friends, in the message, does the pastor get this kind of respect? He's a dirtbag. Huh? But this is the way God looks at it. And then this over here is the way people look at it. Now the thing is, how do you look at it? I want my thinking to match his. Exactly right. The pastor is the highest order in the church. The elder is the highest thing in the apostolic church outside of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings his message straight to the elder. And the elder gives it to the people. You mean to tell me the Spirit of God can still speak to the pastors today, the elders, the ministers? Y'all believe that? You believe that, Brother Terry? That the Spirit of God could speak to me and tell me to preach something and you sit there and say, I don't understand it, I don't understand it, I don't understand it. You may not. He talked to me, not you. That's where trust comes in. Right. Now notice, so that there's nothing in this church that's higher than the pastor. The very next thing to the Holy Ghost is the elder. Praise the Lord. Now watch this in Revelation chapter 4, part 2. What does an elder mean? Now if you take the elder, he said, I got all these definitions wrote out here. I'm just skipping down. Elder means the head of a city or the head of a tribe. An elder, the head of something like Brother Neville. Right now is an elder to this church. What is he? He is the head of this local body. Now, does God want the head to be a dictator? No. No, but now I want to ask you, from where do all the movements of your entire body come from? From where do they pulsate? I raised my hand, but where did that come from? My head. I raised my foot. I flicked my finger. I grabbed a hold of my shirt. I straightened out my tie. I wiped sweat from both sides of my face and down across my nose. Where did those directions come from? Now, do you have a dictator? Do you call your brain a dictator? Why is it then, friend, that we look at a real God called man placed in the true headship of the church that people want to call him a dictator? When he's doing exactly what the Word identifies his position. I love my brain. Well, don't you? I don't care how pretty you are. Take your brain out and see what you amount to. I don't care how handsome you are, how pretty, whatever else is. Get rid of that brain and see what happens to you. You need it. Do you need it? Absolutely you need it. And yet from there comes absolutely millions of pulses. Every day electrical charges and all kinds of things that sends movements all over. And you can tell mine works fast. It always does. And constantly coming from there, I'm glad I've got a hand. But I ain't never, I've been living 53 years, I ain't never went to a mirror and got a knife and cut my scalp off and reached down and grabbed my brain and said, "You dictate. You've told me what to do since I was a baby. You told me to cry. You told me to squall. You told me to kick. You told me to do all that. I'm sick and tired of listening to you."
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you just love your brain? Oh, I wish I'd pull mine out right now and just kiss it. I would. You say, "I don't think you've even got one." Oh, yeah, I've got one. It may not be as smart as yours, but I got one.
Now, notice then God likens the pastor, not a dictator now, friend, but one that is a real pastor. So then from the pastor, every other office, every other aspect of that body should work how? Like from here. Then it shouldn't be the hand over here doing one thing, pulling against the head, and the foot pulling against the, I don't need the brain no more. I'm putting them this way, go this way, and that, go that way, and that one. I'm going to fall apart. One going this way, one going that way. What in the world is it going to be? A mess?
Notice just one more time in Phoenix. The highest thing in the church is an elder. Brother Darnell, I thought you were going to preach on correcting one. I am. But first we've got to look at how God looks at them. That's why God demands they be treated in a certain way. Needless, friends, it doesn't really make any difference what you think about preachers, what you even think about me. That's not relevant to truth. What's relevant is, what does God think? That's what really counts. How does he look at it? What does he demand? Now, the highest thing in the church, he says, is an elder, not a bishop, not some presbyter or something. God deals with the elder of that church. Now, he gives his church his message and what they have need of. They give an absolute. There is nothing higher in the Bible, in the church, than the elder of that church. It's a sovereign church and the Holy Spirit works in any way he wants to. And he dwells among his people. Now remember, it's not Nicolaitan that you take all of God out of the congregation, put everything on the pastor. That's contrary to the word. Hallelujah. Notice this now in respects. So with this highest office in the land, what would you think you would get if you were caught speeding and the police officer said you need to be before the judge on Friday or Monday to pay this fine or to argue with the judge if that's what you'd like to do? You walk in and say, "You dirtbag. Who do you think you are going to sit there and judge me? You filthy hypocrite. I'm the bride." Now, you can rehearse that while you're in Kearney County Jail. "I'm the bride! I'm the bride! I'm the bride!" Now, that man sitting there on that bench may be the lousiest mortal that ever lived. He may be so sorry he may commit nearly every sin in the book. That's not the point. The point is you've come before a judge. And that man has the authority to let you go or otherwise. Right?
So there is a protocol. So you must say, hey man, what's up? How you been, cool daddy? What about it, old judge, old man? How you doing, old son? Why don't you rot me off here today, buddy? What about it? Some of you that don't even say sir will say it then. Yes, sir. No, sir. That's right, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I was going to. That's right, sir. I won't do it again. You know you will. You get half a chance. But in there, oh, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to have them judges sometimes get back in them quarters and nearly just bust their sides laughing because they know their position brings out the worst hypocrisy in people. But why? Because the office demands respect. You've heard me tell it before when my mom and daddy passed and I'd go before the judge as the executor of the will and I sat there and sat there and sat there and there was people that had done, oh my goodness, all kinds of terrible things and drunk and all awful. And I'd watch that judge look at them and roll them eyes down on them. Some people wasn't paying alimony, wasn't paying child support. I mean, he fried them. He'd, you be back here next week. This is the third time I've told you I ain't telling you again. So when he called my name, I don't mind telling you, I was scared. I hadn't done nothing wrong, but the way he acted, I thought he's in a bad mood. I hope they gave him the right papers about me. What if somebody wrote my name down that I shot somebody or something? I'll be floating the clinker. But to my amazement, when he called me and I approached his desk, you, Mr. Reagan? Yes, sir. I heard your father passed away. Yes, sir. I'm sorry to hear about your loss. That soon the man changed. Why? The case was different. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Just because he is nice didn't mean, hey, all right, man. I mean, you pals. I was still froze. Yes, sir. No, sir. That's right, sir. You swear? I do, sir, to the best of my ability. Yes, sir. I've been reading about it, sir. I know it's a great responsibility. Yes, sir, I will, to the best of my... You'll come back and see me? Yes, sir. I said, I sure will, sir. Yes, sir. And I say yes, sir, anyway, but I was really, sir, in him. Why? Protocol. Protocol. Well, friend, if we would speak to a state trooper that way that pulled us over, or a police officer, or a judge, and that's only these down here in this tribunal, what about God's when people will laugh at a preacher, talk about him, use him for mayonnaise on their sandwich? You actually think you're getting by with that? Notice this in respect. Brother Bam said, because God is God, he deserves a respect. That's right. And we've got to respect him and give a fear to him. And that brings respect. God has demanded that for himself and for all his servants. God demands respect. God demands respect for his servants. His servants. Now, how do we know that they're his servants? Because he vindicates these servants by his word. You see, you have no option but to respect servants of God. You may not agree with the theology. You may not agree with what they preach. That has nothing to do with respect. Praise the Lord. I guarantee you one thing. If President Obama walked into this church right here tonight, I'd disagree with that man as much as I did Bill Clinton or many other presidents. But I still would respect my man because of the office that he holds. Do I go along with him? Absolutely not. But I go along with the judge and this, that, and the other. No, sir. But I will respect the office. Some of the folks in the message ain't got enough sense to understand that you can disagree with a man, but when you disrespect that office, you are disrespecting God. 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 God demands respect for His servants. He vindicates His servants by His word. He takes His servants and makes them His servants of God and proves that they are servants by making His word work through them servants. Then as you respect that servant. Happy Valley? Do we believe this statement?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Jesus says it in Matthew 10:40, He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. St. John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send,
yes, sir,
receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now this is the way God looks at his ministers, his gifts. So then there must be an approach. So do we leave them in a spot where they can sin and do anything they want to? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But they must be approached according to this position that God's given. Right. Respects again. Now if you can't respect the man, respect the office he holds in God. Yeah, that's exactly right. Respect him. If a minister comes up to your pastor, always respect him. I've heard congregations talk about the pastor and talk about him, run him down, ridicule him. How's that pastor ever going to do anything for you? He can't do it. That's right. Now he says, I don't say this church, but I mean churches I've seen. You've got to love your pastor. You've got to know that he's a human being. And the church and Donnie Reagan said, amen. He's a human being, but yet God has made him His pastor. Amen. The Holy Ghost has made him overseer. Then you've got to respect him in that manner. And no matter what the pastor's done, if you respect him in your heart as God's servant, God will respect you for doing it. So you mean actually that God will respect you if you see me make a mistake or you see me do something wrong and you respect me, that not so much my mistake or a sin that I would do, but you respect me because you say, I've seen God use that man. I've seen God preach to him. I've seen God do that. God, I honor that gift. God says, and I honor you for honoring what I gave you. Praise the Lord. My. He that receiveth me, now watch, he quotes the scripture that we quoted. He that receiveth him, that receiveth him, the sent me, Jesus said. He that don't receive me can't receive him. So they said God was their father, and he said, your father's the devil. So you see, you've got to respect it and believe it and believe that it is. Yes, Martha believed it. Now watch him talk about Martha. She ran up to him and said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. I like that. Though he's dead, though he stinks, yet whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. Brother Branham said she had a right to upbraid him. She had a right to chastise him. We've left our churches. We've been run out. We've been ridiculed because of you. And why didn't you show up? But he said she never done it. Now watch how he takes this thought. Now that's the way to get something done. That's the way you congregation ought to be about your pastor. How? How though? When he let your brother die and be buried and he's stinking. I guess I'll be looking for a job tomorrow. Brother Jim, could I borrow you a plaque card after church? We'll preach for food. I'll see some of y'all in the morning on I-26 Rome Street exit there. Now notice, this is the message of say what he said and all that sort of thing, you know. Now that's the way the congregation will be about the pastor. See, that's when God will answer. That's right. You've got to approach God's gifts in the right way. With. And ministry is minister gifts. They're gifts in the body. 5 spiritual gifts that's predestinated and foreordained of God in the church. I know there's 9 local gifts in the body, but these are God's office gifts. The office. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And we must respect them if we expect something from God. I don't care how much people respect Brother Branham and honor the tapes. If they don't respect the rest of the fivefold ministry, they're going to be so limited in what they get off them tapes. Can't keep from it. Can't keep from it. They'll listen to them tapes and spin them day in and day out and don't realize their very unbelief for the rest of part of the Word of God so prohibits what they even get. Why? This is God's way. It's God's protocol. Now notice, again he says, and you must be born again. Love your pastor and respect him. He's an honorable man, a man of God, truly. But keep your mind on Christ. And your affection set on Christ. Just respect him as what he is, as a reverend. Because, read it. He represents God to you. Now, how many of you would talk about God? Rebuke God? Really? And yet you did about a pastor. Strange. Strange. But Brother Donnie, I don't agree with everything you do. Don't have to. Does your wife agree with everything you do? It's never been a demand that I have made for anyone who comes to this church that you have to totally 100% agree with what I preach. But there is one demand I do make, and it will be followed through. If you're going to come to this church, you will respect me, the people here, and God, or we'll throw you in jail. No jokes. No. I'm dead serious. I will not tolerate junk. This is God's house, and it will be respected. Oh, you say you won't do it. You want to be the first one? I'll use the jail now until Ananias and Sapphira time comes. And then I'll use the funeral home. And it will come, friends. Just as much the message as Malachi 4, it will come. Now, notice this. In church order. Brother Ben says it's a duty of a deacon if someone jumps up and starts to interrupt the pastor or something or other like that. The pastor and his message, the deacon's supposed to walk up to them people, two or three of them, and say, could we speak to you, brother? Bring him from the church out into the office here, some other office, speak to him about it, saying, you're not to interrupt. You know, it's a great fine by the law to interrupt a service. So you thought a bad thought about me when I said that, didn't you? That's advantage I have before y'all have these pages laying here in front of me, and y'all don't, you see. Notice he says, but some people that would carry on as a delinquent person or something or another come among you, you know, some religious fanatics start carrying on. If the deacons don't seem to be able to control it, then the trustee board or anyone else in the church can step up and give help to such a person. So if any of you feel rowdy enough, and the deacons can't handle you, and the trustees can't handle you, well, it'll be a rodeo. Because I guarantee you one thing, some of these sisters will. Some of you men might be cowards and not stand up for me, but I guarantee you one thing, there's some sisters here that love me, that give their life for me. Exactly. Now notice this. Notice how Brother Branham asked to be dealt with if he was found scripturally wrong when he was alive. If at any time anything I ever say or do that's unscriptural, you owe it to me to come. Say it. To me. About it. That's right. Cause here it has to be right first. This is God's word. And if there's anything we do or isn't found, you're right in God's word. It may not be according to your theology. Yeah. But if it's God's word and God promised it, that's alright. But it must be found in God's word cause that's the infallible truth. Again, he says, if I'm wrong, come, show me. Come, show me. Church order, then I'd expect you, brethren, at any time you see me get away from this scripture, How? Really? Privately. Come to me privately and tell me where I'm wrong. I don't care. Now notice, I don't care if it's one of the trustees or you're the janitor, whoever you are. Notice, Brother Bennett, he did not put himself up here, bless God, I'm a prophet of God, nobody can straighten me out. No, but there was a protocol. A protocol. Now let's look again at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and we'll try to close out here shortly. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let the elders that rule, the word rule there, to be over, to superintend, to preside over, to be a protector, and look at the compound word now that Paul uses, to be a protector or a guardian, to give aid. So we're not talking about a dictator, because a dictator don't do those last parts. He can preside over and superintend, but he's not really caring about the other parts. So let the elders that rule how? Well, be counted worthy of double honor. Now, I want you to just hold on to your seats, okay? Because I'm going to read you something that's probably going to blow your toupee off. And some of you sisters have got them other little things that may go flying too. Now, I want you to notice this. We've read this and read this for years and years, but notice what the Bible actually teaches. Let the elders that rule be well, be counted worthy of double time. Price, sum, a value by which the price is fixed or the price paid. Do you understand that, that rulers that ruled well were considered to be worthy of double salary? I knew it. Now, how many of us believe the Bible? Not many, friends. I found that. I thought, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to read it. I ain't got the guts. But somehow I did. I had the guts. It's deeper than I thought. I thought, we're the children of truth. Why can't we say amen to the truth? Let them be counted worthy of double honor. Now, here Paul is even looking at them. Now, this is a custom that was common among them at that time. That soldiers who were men, great heroes, men who jeopardized their life or done a great heroic thing, you know what they'd done? They'd give them double pay. And Paul looked at the ministry, how that they gave their life. Now, it's not for every one of them. This will help you to understand sometimes why I tell you to give some preachers more than others. Because some are worth more than others. Some that labor in logos and doctrine, diktimeo, which is the teaching. There's actually a difference that the scripture puts in their wages. So then what about the honor that would be given to an individual if they're to be paid different in their wages? What about an honor in the way they're supposed to be approached? Or does this not matter? Sure it matters. It's the word. It has to matter. No, friends, I ain't asking for a raise. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor. Show them the word, dear brothers, what it means. Toil. Be wearied. To grow weary. Tired. Exhausted. With toil or burdens or grief. To labor with wearisome effort. To toil of bodily labor. I can't say that I fulfill every scripture thus far. But I can sure say I fulfill this one. As a matter of fact, I showed Carol a quote this week where Brother Branham said, when a preacher preaches, 20 minutes of under inspirational preaching is like 8 hours with a sledgehammer. 8 hours with a sledgehammer. What if you preach an hour? So it's 24 hours in one night with a sledgehammer. Then what if you preach 3 times a week? Now look, friend, why am I saying this? Because this is the way God looks at His ministry. And if we don't look at it like that, we're looking at it wrong. Amen. Oh, them old side preachers, they're all a bunch of junk. You better be careful what you're saying. My. Let them that rule well be kind of worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, now notice the very next verse, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. So what are you talking about? Payment. Payment. Right? Against an elder, receive not an accusation. Receive, take upon oneself an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. When an elder is charged with preaching false doctrine, that's not to even be uttered without witnesses of such. You're not to receive that, not just against me, but any other elder, whether you like him or not. That has nothing to do with it. The Bible don't say, receive not an accusation against your favorite preacher. It just says, don't receive it against an elder. And the church said,
amen.
So how do we go about correcting a pastor? How do we do it? We come to him privately. We bring the word. Now let me say honestly before you tonight, my friends. I've been preaching since I was 18 years old. I have never, ever preached a sermon intentionally with error. I preached a lot of error. I've made a lot of mistakes. But I ain't never done it on purpose. But even with some Pentecost together, I give my all. I give my all to the Lord. And I studied, and I studied, and I knew that Bible. I studied that Bible, and I had a good memory then. And I quoted that Bible like it was coming right off the top of my head, because I would, because God gave me such a memory. When I'd read it in the Bible, I could tell you exactly where it was at on the page. And whether I had two underscores or three. Because that's the only book I read. So I read it. I knew it. I wanted to know what I was talking about. I knew it in Pentecostal life. But I wanted to be able to preach what truths I knew. I have never yet ever studied any sermon that I knew was intentionally wrong. And I ain't going to start tonight. And yet I preach wrong. I've preached error. I have. But not intentionally. Not intentionally. Friend, I love you. I would never try to lead you astray. I'd first lead my soul to hell and then lead you. I'd never try to study something to lead you wrong. Notice now, receive not an accusation against an elder before two or three witnesses. I want you to notice this. You know, let's just look at it like this and I'll close. If one of you brothers and sisters here in this church saw me commit adultery, one of you, just one. Do you realize you could not bring that against me? Now you see, God knew there'd be cases like that to where a preacher, a filthy scumbag, would skate through that condition. Why would God do that? Because he knew the charges against his ministry would be so great, it was worth the risk. God knew by giving the people of this age the voice of their messenger. He knew there'd be hundreds of them that never go to church. He knew there would be hundreds of them that would always have the tapes to fall back on. So if they disagree with the preacher, they just stay home. God knew that. But God considered it worth the risk to give the bride the voice of her messenger. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God knew there would be preachers because there wasn't two or three witnesses that could prove they were caught in sin. Say Jim Babb caught me doing something wrong. Brother Skip caught me. And was anybody else there, Brother Skip? No. No, but I know I seen it. But we'd say, but Brother Skip, you ain't enough. Wonder how many sorry preachers have escaped it because it wasn't two or three. Why would God put something like that in his word? Because he knew the opposition against his gifts would be so great. He said it's worth the risk to protect the good ones. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 7, we'll close. Brother Bram says, the only thing I do is just owning the property. And if something another comes by, like moving the pastor, they want to take a vote on that, you couldn't ask a deacon to do that. You come ask me. I'd come down and say, if you want to move the pastor, tell me why. Has he done anything? Yes. We caught him drunk. Or we caught him doing this or doing something that wasn't right. Now notice, have you got three witnesses of it? Yes, we have. That still ain't good enough. Them witnesses must first be tried. They could all be lying. We got a bunch of liars in the message. Them witnesses must first be tried. Don't receive an accusation against an elder unless by two or three witnesses, and let them first be proved against an elder. Then you have to swear to it. This is quite a statement for a man who didn't believe in swearing. When they asked him to swear and take an oath, he wouldn't even do it. And yet he tells us to receive an accusation against a preacher, you have to swear. I swear before Almighty God, I saw Brother Donnie open up a pack of Pall Mells and take one out and stick it in his mouth and light it and smoke it. I swear before Almighty God, God strike me dead. It ain't enough for you to say you saw it. You've got to swear. Why is this so stringent? Why? Do you think God loves to strain at particulars? God knows His ministry. Why is it this with just every person in the church? Because He knows the most hated ones in the church will be the preachers. Now if you notice, this is not prostitutes out here that's bringing this against Him. It's church people. Well, glory to God. Make it a few more minutes, friends. I'll let you go. Let them first be proved, then they have to swear to it that you saw it and prove it that you saw it. And then if you did, then that sin is rebuked openly. You mean Brother Donnie is to be rebuked? Yes! If he's caught in sin and done wrong and proved, he's to be rebuked openly. But not until the protocol has been met. Praise the Lord. Now, then if you did, then that sin is rebuked openly. It's wrong. Then the congregation say, congregation, do you want to change your pastor? And if the congregation votes forgive him, let him go on. That's the way it has to stand. That isn't that fair enough a way to run a church. That's what the Bible said. We have no bishops or overseers and boards and so forth. Move this one, move that one. Got a lot of authority. Nobody's got the authority here but the Holy Ghost. He does the moving. We take Him as the majority of the people. So now listen to this. So if one side wants to do this and the other side wants to do that, and that side wins, the losing side, what are they to do about it? Roll out their bottom lip, leave, and start another church. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the way we do things. That ain't the message, but that's the way we do things. Join right in with the rest of them and say, we were. And go right on, because the Holy Ghost has made that choice. Let's stand. Now let's make sure all points are covered. Anybody that wants to correct me on anything I preach, anything I do, this is God's way. Come to me privately. Speak to one of the deacon brothers. Set yourself up a meeting. Bring the Bible. We'll begin with it first. Since all things are supposed to be proved by the Scripture. I'm not interested in your opinion. I think, I believe. So don't bring that to me. Because if it comes down to opinions, I'll stick with my own, since I have to answer to God for it. Can you imagine me standing before God? Well, God, I really felt led to preach this, but Brother Gene told me I should preach that. And Brother Tracy wanted me to preach. And Sister Cole sent me an email and she thought that I shouldn't say that, Lord. I should say this. No. There are a lot of things that I fall short of, but when I stand before Him that day, I don't want to stand there as a wimp. And say, my church told me, said this, and Brother so-and-so said to the Brother so-and-so, no. I'll stand there before Him saying, God, do the best I could. I made thousands of mistakes, but You know my heart. God bless you, children. I love you. We want to be right, don't we? We want to be right. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love You, Father. We're so grateful for Your Word. Lord, it just amazes me when I go to looking at things that when the need come up among the people in the early days, a rumor that the Grecian widows are not being taken care of, the Spirit of God came and gave them an office, later to be known to us as deacons, that would take care of this void. You've put so many things in Your Word that would You knew would arise. No doubt many of the people probably heard Brother Branham dealing with a lot of these things and thought, wonder who will ever need that? Wonder when that'll ever come into play. Oh, but You knew. You knew. And You so had this put in Your Word because You knew the perfect church was not the tape church, but one that would have a pastor. So that's why You had all these quotes stored up. So we'd know how to deal with pastors and ministers when they go wrong. Oh, Lord, I pray that You'd help each of us. I am by no means free from mistake and failure. Lord Jesus, I pray You'd help me. Help me if I ever go wrong or if I can be proven wrong by the Word. Give me a repentant heart. Repentant attitude, Lord. I know I preach things here that sheep don't understand. If they'd only think back a few weeks ago when I preached on apostolic mannerism and apostolic view of the deacons, did they just think I studied that myself and I put that together? Wasn't it just a few services thereafter the very thing I preached was needed? I hope we're awake, Lord. I hope we're awake and we're looking around and listening to what You're saying. Help us, Lord God. Keep me from failure, Lord. Help me, I'll never lead these people astray. Let death take me. Let me go by the way of a premature grave before I would lead them astray. But I believe if I have the Holy Ghost, I can be corrected, Lord. Then, Lord Jesus, may the sheep here also be able to be corrected. No doubt they'll sit here sometimes and be puzzled by what I preach and the way I preach it and the way I go. But help them, Lord, to realize they have no idea what I'm dealing with. Many times they do not have an inkling. Because I don't. And if I don't as the shepherd, I know they don't as the sheep. But they must learn to do what I learned to do. Trust You. Trust You. How many decisions has a husband made in a home and the children didn't understand it, didn't go along with it. The wife didn't understand it, didn't go along with it. But yet as the husband, the final say, he'd make the decision. So what should the family do? Rebel against him and march around the walls and cause a great war. Pray for him. Pray for him that God will help him. So I pray, Father, that You'd help us as the pastor and the sheep that we can be able to come to that spot. Help me. I'll never be a dictator, but I'll be a head as I'm supposed to be. Deacons are sheep. Just because they're deacons don't mean they're not sheep. And sheep need to be led. Trustees are sheep. They need to be led. Brother Louis is a song leader, and he's a wonderful one, but he's a sheep. Brother Louis needs direction sometimes, and he needs it from the pastor. The singers, the musicians, Brother Jim, the wonderful brother in the library, but he's a sheep. He needs direction, Lord. And Father, there's one thing I have observed in being here for these 20-some odd years now. Every office in this church that will seek and ask my counsel and will follow to the best that I know to tell them. If they'll do that, it always works so much better. But if they kick against it and go their own way and do their own thing, it'll always be trouble. always. And it's the same with you and us. The only time I get in trouble is when I rebel against you. When will I ever learn, Lord? Help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. How many just say to him tonight, Lord, help me to be a submissive sheep. Submissive to the Holy Ghost. Help me, Lord, that I can get behind the head here, the pastor. Pray for him. Look, children, I don't want you to say, oh, Brother Donnie, I agree with everything you preach. That ain't what I want. I don't want yes people. You just want sheep. You can disagree with me, friends. You have a right to. Sure. But disagree honorably. Disagree with protocol. I felt led. No, no. Anything that leads you contrary to the word is wrong. Just accept it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Don't you love him with all your heart? Brother Louis, would you come sing for us? God bless you, children. I love you. See you, Lord willing, Saturday night. Lord willing, we'd like to look back into the promise of the word of what God's given us, describing his land. Two or three people told me it's the last Sunday's service that I preached on Saturday night, the greatest service they'd ever said in their life. Other people told me it was so wonderful they wish I'd just preached the whole thing again, word for word. Wow. That's pretty good. And you need a warmed up leftover, word for word. That's pretty good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you in the Lord.
Amen. We love you too, man. It's not in trying but trusting. It's not in running but resting. It's not in worry but praying. That's how we find our strength in the Lord. No, it's not in running but resting. It's not in trying but trusting. It's not in worry but resting. That's how we find our strength in the Lord. No, it's not in trying but trusting. It's not in running but resting. It's not in worry but praying. I got it right. That's how we find our strength in the Lord. One more time. Oh, it's not in trying but trusting. It's not in running but resting. It's not in worry but praying. That's how we find our strength in the Lord. God bless you. Come back Saturday night. It's not in trying but trusting. It's not in running but resting. Oh, it's not in worry but praying. That's how we find our strength in the Lord. Oh, it's not in trying but trusting. It's not in running but resting. It's not in worry but praying. That's how we find our strength.